and welcome to the Book Club Haters Book Club.
A podcast where we discuss the books we love and otherwise. I'm Noor.
And I'm Tia. Welcome to October.
Yes. Question mark. I was going to say, okay, like, cool. Is it October or September? It's October.
It's October. I think, like, part of the reason why we always have difficulty with determining what month is because we record in the middle of the month.
Yeah, so we're like, wait, are we recording for this month or for the other month? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to talk about reading or not?
Sure. I kind of just did not read, or I did read, but it was like the most mindless reading experiences ever, where I just like, nothing is retained in my head, but I spent it well, but I spent the time reading well, you know? Mm. Do you ever have that?
Mm. No, I don't understand what you mean at all.
Okay, so like, so I would pick up a book. It's sometimes I read like murder mystery or like a romance, and it's like I literally don't remember what happens, but I know that I feel good while I'm reading. So that's it.
Are they rereads?
There are some rereads. But also I think I read like three new books. But I just don't remember what the hell happened. Other than like, oh, I like that one, but I don't know why. Basically, I didn't think things through. Yeah, because like I usually like, oh, you know, I read this, so it made me think of this, and like, you know, all those like, I analyze it to death in my head.
Yeah.
But this time I'm like, nothing. Just bliss.
I think you became me for the past month because that's basically how I read books.
Oh my God. So
that's why whenever we come in, I'm like, I read this amount of book. I don't remember anything from them because honestly, for me, like reading is just a very in the moment thing.
A nice way to spend time.
Yeah. And there are very few instances nowadays anyway. Like I think before this, I really did do the whole analyze the crap out of it. There are very few instances where I finish a book and I'm like, that's going to stay with me for the next week. Part of it for me is because my life is hectic.
Mm.
And I think about a lot of things that happens in my life more that when I read, it's just a way for me to escape from that for a bit. And I think I am somebody who's very good at compartmentalizing things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That even when I'm reading stuff, it just doesn't seep into my personal daily life.
Right, right. I'm just like, I don't really do that, basically.
Yeah, I know. No, you don't. That's why, like, every time I talk about books with you, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so smart. This girl is so smart. Like, really doughy-eyed looking at you.
That's how I look at you. What?
Oh my God. Like, we just want each other's attributes, basically.
Yeah, basically. That's why we're friends.
Yeah. But what was it like for you to just read and not analyze whatever you were reading?
I think, like, it really freed up some, like, brain space, which is, like, fascinating for me. And I was like, I feel calm and I don't have to think about anything. Like, their motives, mm-hmm. they're like, what this means to me personally, what it was wild. it was like, I don't know, I like it. I think I may just do this because like lately I feel like quite overwhelmed with real life and like reading provided that escape, and so like I was like, yeah, I don't have to think about this. It's nice.
Absolutely not. You shouldn't have to think about whatever you're reading. And I guess it's the way some people say that reading brings meaning, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes I'm like, oh, not really.
Yeah, I'm just like...
It's just a way for me to pass the damn time.
Yeah, something to laugh at. Something to, like, cry over or whatever. Just a release.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually, one of the... Oh, I do have, like, at least one book that I sort of remember, I guess. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
I read the... Lady Sherlock, the new Lady Sherlock book called Murder on Cold Street by Sherry Thomas, which you said that it was, the language was too complicated, like it was too like convoluted, my bad.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I think like the convoluted part is like part of the mystery itself.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like you kind of have to figure out from the, it's like the convoluted language is a riddle in itself to solve as part of like what's happening. So that was quite fun for me to read, but without having to like think through things. Super fun. Very light murder, which is like I can read through light murder apparently, but I can't read. So I have
heavy murder.
Heavy murder, like our book club book for this month, apparently.
Did you find it was heavy murder? I thought it was like a walk in the park. No, I'm kidding.
No, I was like, yeah, it is heavy murder on a scale of murders.
Okay. Oh, it's so weird that a YA book could have such heavy murder.
Yeah. I guess because of the time period. But we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, of course. Can I talk about yours? About the books I read? Yeah, so I read like three books. I'm going through another one right now. So technically-ish, I read four books. Which one do I want to talk about? I can choose to talk about the second book from the Poppy War, which is The Dragon Republic by R.F. Kuang. But I swear to God, I remember nothing from that book because it was so thick. And it took me around 2 weeks to read through it.
Was it as like emotionally heavy as like the first one?
There were a lot of deaths. And what I really enjoyed about this book was because they're set in an Asian fantasy geography, basically. There was... So this time around, the main character, Rin, is trying to... has allied with people who wants to build a republic and a democracy. And part of the negotiation is they have to ally with... It doesn't specifically say, but it's obviously white people. So... It's working together with people who will very possibly colonize these Asian realm or whatever. So I think that aspect is very interesting because I really didn't think that they were going to do, like R.F. Kuang was going to do something and put elements, something like that, and put elements of colonialism and imperialism. And after reading so many books about evolution, she did a really great job at looking into the kind of racism that the medical field had when it comes to Black people, Asian people, I don't know, back in the 17th, 18th century. And I really like that part, but there's still so much war and it's so gory. And it's the kind of book where the pace just keeps going and sometimes difficult to follow if you don't read through, like if I skip reading after 2 days and stuff. I really did like it, and I really want to go into the third one, which I think is being released next month.
Oh, it hasn't been released yet. I thought it was like already like a completed series.
Yeah, I think it's either this month or next month, so I'm kind of just stoked to be finishing this and maybe not read it ever again.
Oh my god.
Because it's so thick, and there's just so many things. And she's so good at writing the impact of the PTSD and war and stuff that it just... sometimes like when I read it, I do feel like I want to vomit and stuff. So,
oh, God.
It's that kind of book. And she writes it so well. And she's so young as a writer, too. I think she's like still in her 20s, which is kind of remarkable.
That's amazing.
It is, yeah. But again, I try not to question my successes and failures and compare it to hers. But yeah, it's
do that. Yeah, you're an overachiever. Please.
No, no. I'm trying not to be an overachiever. But yeah, the fact that she's written something like this already in her 20s, I'm kind of excited to see what she's going to come up with as she gets older and as she practices writing even more in her life.
Do you think this is like a reread thing? You think you'll reread it like we reread the Devabad series?
I don't know. What is that question again?
Do you think it's a reread? Like, it's worth a reread?
I don't know. I don't know, because with Deva Bhad, there's just so many aspects of the culture intricacies that I feel is very close to my heart. Mm. The reason why I love reading it was part because of that. It's like, it is very influenced with the Muslim world and everything. And I do really, really love not just one character, but like almost every character in the Deva Bhad series I really, really enjoy. Yeah. Whereas with R.F. Kuang, because she has so many characters, it's so hard for me to follow. And sometimes she kills off really good characters. Like, I think she's very relentless. She's very like, she's not sorry to just kill off people and stuff. And they're so, for me anyway, because just the book is just so thick and there's just so many things happening. I think if I will reread it, maybe like in a distant future, but it's not going to be anytime soon. But because whereas with the Deva Bhad series, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll definitely read that again next year.
I wonder if it's because like Deva Bhad is a character driven story, and well, like it sounds like this R.F. Kuang series is like more like tales, you know, like mm-hmm. like a plot driven. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it is very plot driven.
I think I would go back to like Deva Bhad because I want to go back to the characters, not necessarily the story, as in like the plot itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, because I do feel a bit disconnected with the characters in the Poppy War. And I think I stay mostly because it is good storytelling. But like even with Rin and stuff, I don't feel like I'm rooting for her all the time compared to how I read Deva Bhad, and I'm like, yeah, Nari, yeah, Ali, and maybe not. To who's that guy? The Jin guy? Oh my god.
Dara.
What's his
name?
They're
all Jin.
Yeah, Dara. Yeah, yeah, I know. The mega Jin.
The Jin guy.
That's what I call him. He's like the mega Jin. But with the Poppy War series, I don't feel like I'm rooting anybody at all, because everything is from Rin's perspective, which is fine. But also her perspective is very flawed because she's so young. She's like, I think she's 16, 17 or something. Mm. And I feel sometimes like I'm reading a YA where very super stubborn main character.
Yeah, yeah.
Who just doesn't have a lot of good perspective in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Mm. I get that.
What else did I read? I read this book called Kim Ju Young, Born 1982 by Chu Namju. It's about life as a woman in South Korea. It's supposedly I think it's a fiction. It looks like a fiction. I don't know.
But you read it and you don't know if it's a fiction book?
It probably is a fiction, actually. I just assume it's fiction. I don't know. Didn't really check, now that I think about it. So it's basically about the trauma of being a woman in South Korea. Mm-hmm. And it's written from her therapist's perspective. And I remember reading something similar. I remember reading the book called The Vegetarian by Han Kang a few years back, which is also about mental health and the effect of mental health and how being a woman deteriorates mental health also in South Korea. And with this book that I finished, with Kim Ji Young Born 1982, it's basically the same concept. And what I think is interesting about these two books is that they made a lot of international claims because they've been translated to English, and it touches on the same themes about being a woman and mental health and the kind of problems of that women face living in South Korea. Because a lot of people assume that it's a democracy, it's an economically thriving country, but there's just still so many issues of sexism in the country there. Mm. Yeah. And I don't know. It was good. It was good, I guess.
I wonder how I would feel like reading that kind of book as a person who was very into K-pop because K-pop is like, it has a certain set of rules for women, like how they should look and how they should act and how, like, and it was a, when I was in into K-pop, in the fandoms, I guess, there was always like this idea that basically girl groups don't last as long as boy bands.
Yeah.
Because the girl groups, they were pressured to, one, maintain weight or lose weight. And then, like, they have to have a certain look. They're always, like, if they have, like, any extra hair, and that would they would get bashed. And, like, it would... it took a toll on these girl group members' mental health and physical health. And, like, it literally led to some of them to dying.
Suicide. Isn't it?
Yeah. It was a huge issue. And there was, like, a huge a period of time when the news stories were just about exposures of how the entertainment companies, agencies, how they treat girl groups, like how, like, they would... One girl group I remember, like, their boss would point to, would, like, line up the girl group members and their, and then he would assess their body shapes and, like, no, this is, like, you're supposed to be this shape, like a doll, like a literal mannequin. And it's like, yeah, when I think of,
that's
like,
so scummy.
Yeah, it is. So I wonder how I would feel, because, like, it really affected how I saw, like, K-pop at that time, and was like basically a huge contributor to me not being in the fandom anymore, because I just couldn't condone that stuff anymore.
Yeah, she did touch on Kim Ji-young's how she has always wanted to be a career person, and the problem is that there's a lot of pressure from her family to have children. And there's a lot of laws and regulations in South Korea. I don't know if it's the case still right now or not, but the dateline, the timeline for the time when she, Kim Ji-young, started working was between 2001 to 2011. And she didn't want to have a child. She doesn't want to have children yet. And her husband didn't want to have children yet, but her parents-in-laws kept nagging her. And then the husband just said, you know what the solution is so we can stop so they can stop nagging? Let's just have children. Mm-hmm. Which is like, what the fuck? That's not how you solve problems.
Yeah.
But the thing was that she wasn't ready to have children. And when she did, she's like, okay, I love them. But at the same time, at what cost? Because she couldn't really make money and she couldn't go back to having the career that she had before where she could have climbed ladders and stuff. And she also mentioned how her male co-workers would just leer at the woman who worked there, and they'd have hidden cameras in bathroom cubicles and everything. Yeah. And then, like, there's this one quote that I thought was, I don't know if this applies to Brunei or not. I think it's a very complicated thing, and maybe this book is reducing the whole issue, but at the same time, after hearing a lot of issues with gender disparity in South Korea, I think maybe, you know, maybe it's not as reductive as it sounds. There's one quote that it says, what do you want from us? The dumb girls are too dumb, the smart girls are too smart, and the average girls are too unexceptional. Whereas you know, whereas men in the company that she worked in, she worked with a lot of really average men, and they'll just go up ranks and stuff by just being average, whereas she still has to make coffee for them and do lunch runs, even though she has the same, she's on the same ranking as the men. I don't know, like, if I did find reading this really frustrating, because while it is specific to South Korea, it is the issues that women face when it comes to wanting a career and wanting to have family, etc. It's, I would say, it's probably still a global thing.
Oh, definitely.
And Yeah, so I find reading this book really frustrating. There's some mention of assault. It's basically just a life of a woman.
In general.
Of an everyday woman, really.
Yeah. I do find it, like, quite odd, like, how in my organization, we have meetings and stuff, or we're having, like, an event. It's the women who serve the food. Yeah. Regardless of their rank, it's like...
That's also mentioned in the book.
Right.
Why do the women have to be the one cleaning up?
Yeah.
And I know, like, this is shitty. I don't know if this is shitty of me. I don't think it's shitty of me. I refuse to clean up every time we have functions and stuff. I mean, it's different if it's the cleaner's job. The cleaner, a woman, I mean, that's one problem.
Yeah.
But it's different if it's the cleaner's job because that's their job. But it's another thing altogether if we have food and stuff and the ones cleaning are women. And I remember my dad, he was here in Australia with me for a bit, and I remember him talking to other men on the table, and he was basically complaining how it's difficult to clean during winter because grime and oil and fat just solidifies on the plate. Yeah, and he was complaining how, oh, hot water takes a really long time to be hot in my apartment. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the faces of the men on the table and how they just couldn't relate as to what he was saying, which shows like they just don't never clean.
Yeah.
Whereas my dad was just like, he went on a 10-minute rant and I was next to him going like, yeah. And everyone on the table were like, the men on the table were just like, what? What are you talking about? Hmm. And it's kind of the same. Like if you go to like office, I think in Brunei it's pretty common where the women are always the one ended up getting the plates and stuff and then removing the plates and cleaning them afterwards. I don't know where the boys go, to be honest.
Same. The boys just like tapau and then just go.
Yeah, sometimes they just, and like sometimes even when the women are cleaning, they're talking. Like, what's so important that you can't just angkat tangan sekejap and just help me clean, okay?
Or like talk and clean at the same time, which is what women do.
Absolutely possible.
Like, what? We can have it all. Oh my God. Yeah.
Men can have it all too. Come on now.
Yeah. Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Those are the only two books I want to talk about. Do you want to move on?
Yes, sure.
Hello, welcome to question time. Do you have a question? I have a question.
Okay, you can go first.
Do you want to think about a question that you're going to ask me?
Oh, gosh. Sure, yeah, go. I mean, I have already thought.
Do you judge a book by its cover?
Ooh, that's kind of hard. Sometimes. Like, when... sometimes I'm like, this cover is so pretty. And then you go inside and you're like, I regret every decision. But, you know, it's just like, I do... Uh-huh. I am like, ooh, lawa jua... And then, but I don't really buy it. Does that, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Does that mean I don't judge it by its cover? I'm attracted to it, but like, I definitely am attracted more to pretty covers than I am to ugly covers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't buy solely for the cover.
Oh, am isn't this like a philosophical question? Do you judge a book by its cover and its content and its blurb?
I think the cover is like an entrance. Well, as it should be, right? It's like, because it's the first thing I see. So I'm like, ooh, this is pretty. I'm going to like see what this is about. But I don't think I will look like, if the cover is ugly, I don't think I would even like look at it. Like I wouldn't even like check to see if the contents is nice or not. I just wouldn't.
I feel like the writers I read, I've been lucky enough that they have good covers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like, if I'm reading, if I, like, the good books that I find, like, is it because, like, I was smart about, like, choosing this? or because I was just like, mm-hmm. I really like this cover, so I'm gonna like research more into it, you know? So like, what comes first, like the cover or the content?
No, it's like the egg and the chicken question.
Yeah, basically.
I remember messaging you, I think last month, I saw this book in a, I haven't bought a physical book for a very long time. Let's just start there. And I saw this book on display at a bookstore. And I texted you and I was like, I bought this book and it's super on brand on me because the subject is about human bodies. Yeah. But the cover was so pretty. And I was like, I have to have this book. And I think that's, I don't know if that's the first time, but that's like the very few instances where I just didn't think twice about getting the book, even though it's an expensive book. I was like, I must have this. I must have this book. What is the name of the book? It's called Anatomica. So the book is called Anatomica, The Exquisite and Unsettling Art of Human Anatomy by Joanna Ebenstein and Lucille Clark. And it's basically just drawings of human anatomy throughout history. But the cover was so pretty. And it was just like, I don't care what the content of this book is. I don't care what I have to read and stuff like that. It was just so pretty. And the pictures inside were really interesting. And yeah, for me, that I think that was like...
It's a coffee table book.
I must have it. It is absolutely a coffee table book. And that's the thing that I want to talk about at some point too. Like coffee table books, if you're into it or not. But we'll have that discussion for another time.
Oh, next book thoughts then. Next book
thoughts idea. Yeah. Also, if anyone's listening, we're not doing any book thoughts this week because we haven't had enough energy in our brain to have any thoughts at all for a topic.
But we did talk a lot about books and stuff earlier. So like, it's kind of a two-in-one mm-hmm. thing, isn't it?
Sure.
Podcast hack.
Podcast life hack more.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what's your question?
My question is, do you have a book series from your, like, when you were growing up that you wish would come back?
Oh my God, I don't know. This is interesting. I'm not sure if I read a lot of series when I was growing up. There's nothing from that timeline in my life where I'd want to read again now.
Interesting.
You say as a child, right?
Not really as a child. Just like anything like while growing up. Well, basically anything that, but like it's an old series that hasn't been back mm-hmm. or that has been completed sudah that you wish that there was like another, like a sequel, a prequel, or like, or whatever. A surprise spinoff.
Right. I see. I'm not sure about series, but I do know a book that I want to have a follow-up. More of?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wasn't satisfied with the ending. I want a second book for Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Hard same.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I really wasn't satisfied with the ending of that book at all. So I'd be happy to have a second book.
Funny thing is that when I first read it, I was like, oh, all right, this is okay. I like it. And then like,
yeah.
as I thought about it more, I'm like, maybe not. You know, it's just I want maybe like something more, I guess. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think Eleanor and Park is one of those books where you go through it and you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. And then you're like, oh, no, it's not fine.
It's not fine.
Yeah. Definitely that. I don't know. Series is just... Because there's nothing in terms of series that... Like, I'm seeking for that much. I'm thinking about...
Twilight.
That's the thing. Here's the thing. There was a Twilight book that came out. Very
that's right.
Recently.
Edwards.
Yeah. I was going to say Clockwork. No, The Infernal Devices by Cassandra Clare. But I was told over the weekend that Cassandra Clare has written a series of books following the children of the characters from that book.
Oh, so there's like, already a...
is apparently
enough. Cool.
Yeah, and I also don't I don't know. Also, like, I feel like I'm past the YA, I don't know, phase in my life. So I'm not constantly seeking for YA the way I was seeking for it maybe 5-8 years ago.
Oh, same. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of stuff out there that is really difficult for me to follow. So I might as well just not follow it at all because it's slightly overwhelming sometimes.
Oh, I think also because of COVID, I remember like the news being like, there are 500 books publishing today because of COVID. Because like when COVID happened, all of the releases were pushed back, right? Like postpone. So like somehow all of the publishing houses, they just like decided to publish on this the same day. So
oh my god, really?
Yeah, so that like one day or like one week, there were like lots and lots and lots of like YA releases. And I think that's partly why we're kind of like a bit overwhelmed with hearing about YA also.
Don't know. I did a big unfollow on my Instagram recently. I think I unfollowed like 100 accounts or something. And a lot of them were YA writers. Because I'm like, none of these interest me anymore. So I just didn't follow them anymore because I'm past it, I think. I mean, I'm not saying I won't read them. I will. I will definitely read Mackenzie Lee's book. She's the one who did A Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue. I'll definitely read that. But also, she writes that book not in a very... Like, she's a really good storyteller and she's a very good character builder. So I really like that. And I feel there's more to be told with those characters. And she's going to. And also, in general, she's just a really good writer. So I will follow that. But I think, like, with Cassandra Clare and stuff, I'm done. I've moved on.
You've aged out.
Yeah. I'm not the target demography anymore. How about you? Do you have anything? I was going to say Sailor Moon too, by the way, but I don't know if Sailor Moon's even still out there or not.
I don't know either. Yeah. For me, I was just like thinking of this question because like recently I got the Goodreads newsletter saying that like Rick Riordan has released the final book in the Apollo series. And I was like, oh, what? I didn't even know there was a spinoff with like the god Apollo being turned into a teenager. And I'm just like, do I want to go back into that world? So that's like made me question like, is there a book that maybe I want? And it seems like the answer is kind of no, because like you, I feel like I've aged out of most of my childhood favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah,
it's totally fine.
But I also feel like if you want to go back into that world, you have to do a massive reread.
Oh, definitely. Because you're like, wait, what? Did this happen? And also like your perceptions of what happened is like, might be wrong.
Yeah, and I also like the idea of just keeping those things as pure as possible. Like, I'm pretty sure if I read them now, I might have a more critical eye and I might just end up hating them.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we go talk about our book club?
Yeah, sure. Yes. Welcome to our October's book club. We're talking about The Weight of Our Skies. The Weight of Our Sky by Hannah Elkoff. A book set in Malaysia during the race riots. I have not finished it.
In the 60s?
In the 60s. Late 60s.
Yeah. How many times has it been already that you just haven't finished the book? Is this like your second this year?
Maybe my third. I don't know. But yeah, this one is kind of hard for me. Okay. Because like,
who's counting, right?
Yeah, who is counting? Probably me. But I tried like...
Wait, can we do an introduction first?
Okay, you go. Because like, I didn't read it.
Yeah, so I'm literally just reading off the Goodreads blurb.
Go ahead.
So this The Weight of Our Sky follows Malati, who is 16 years old. And during the race riot, she was in the movie theater with her friend when a gang of Chinese people, like a Chinese gang came in and Malay gang. I don't remember. Holy crap. I think it might have been Chinese. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Came in and killed her friend, and not in front of her. So Malati wanted to go back home to see her mother and make sure that her mom's safe. And she was separated from her mom for, I think, a few days. And throughout the whole book, we also follow Malati's inside fight with what she claims is Jin, telling her what to do and stuff. But they're not really, I don't know if it is Jin or not. That's up to discussion. Okay. Why did you have difficulty reading this book?
I honestly did not even finish chapter one because it was just that hard for me. Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard because the way I think this book is I can already tell that it's a really, really good book because of the way of Malati talks about the jinn in her head and her compulsions, because she has OCD, but it's undiagnosed,
obviously,
right?
yeah
and it kind of the anxiety that she it really jumps off the page really, really well. And it kind of was affecting me because I'm also battling with my compulsions also. So it's not that I have OCD, but I do have these compulsions because of my past trauma. So it's so it was just a really difficult read for me. And also I really appreciate that the author in the beginning of the book, before it starts, she's these are the triggers. If you can't handle it, please don't read this book. And I'm that's nice. So I'm taking it to heart, I guess.
Okay. That's fine. I did kind of when I went through it, I was wondering, is she actually going to finish this? I don't think she will.
Yeah. And then my boyfriend kept saying you don't have to finish it. Please don't take it too hard.
Did he read it? I think he read it, right?
He loves it. So
should have done a summary for you, and you could have said, yeah. Okay.
But I'm not going to lie and say I finished it when I did it.
Oh, no, I didn't expect you to lie. Just make him tell you what the plot lines were.
Oh, no, he did tell me he's such a history nerd where he just explained to me the whole, that period at the, which is one of his particular interests, and also the Beatles and all that. Mm-hmm. So it was okay. Right. But if I were to read this fully and without with a sound mind, I guess, I think I would be more interested in the way that the OCD is being portrayed.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because it really does kind of fit with the Malay thinking of what mental health issues are like, because every time you have these intrusive thoughts, people often assume that those intrusive thoughts, because they are intrusive, are not your thoughts and they must be coming from an outside source.
Yeah.
Wow, that is the most eloquent I've been in 5 years.
No, that's not true.
That's me peak eloquent, I feel, for myself.
Okay, I don't think that's true, but okay.
I'm gonna go back to being a fool after this, but okay. Because she didn't, so throughout the whole book, it was revealed that Malati has had these tics, OCD tics, and these intrusive thoughts for quite a long time. And even her mom was we're going to go to the bomoh and stuff, or the ustas. I think it might have been an ustas, probably not a bomoh. That's counterproductive. So she'd go to the ustas and stuff, and she lied and said that she's fine now because she couldn't bear to see her mother stress about her daughter's mental issues.
Yeah. Okay.
Since you didn't read the book also, I think you will find this super fascinating. Among her tics are she always counts in threes, six, and nines.
Oh yeah, yeah. I noticed that too. And like yeah, she sits like on the right side, right, or something. Right side or left? I don't remember.
What's the right side thing? I don't know anything about this. What's the significance?
Where she like goes on the bus. And then mm-hmm. she's like, someone is occupying her seat on the right side, I think. And like that, mm-hmm. for me, and then she steps onto the bus with her right foot. And I, you know, how it was like drilled into me where you kind of like, you do everything with your right hand, right side first. And if you do your left side, it's if you like enter inviting a room, jinn or something.
Yeah. And like, if you go into the bathroom, you have to start with you have to step in with the left foot, right?
Yeah, because it's like,
yeah,
God is not there, which is wild.
I don't know, weird. Yeah, but do you know exactly what the significance of the number three is?
I do not. What is it?
I can't remember because I'm the third child, and I remember this being drilled into my head as a kid. It has something to do with jinns and stuff too. I don't know what it is. Yeah, apparently. The only thing I know is that, you know, jinns finish their shift at 3 o'clock on the dot twice a day.
Which is still That's why you wake funny. Up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, they say like you wake up at 3 a.m. Apparently it's because your liver, the processes in your liver usually often starts cooling down around at 3 o'clock. That's why you tend to just wake up at 3.
What does that even fucking mean?
This is Buddhist belief as far as I know, because so some Buddhists in Thailand, they go to sleep really early around 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock and they wake up at 3 or 4. It's because your liver, I don't know what it is, like the function of it, the time that it rests and recover is between 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. This is Buddhist belief. So a lot of monks, they'll go to sleep around that time and they'll wake up at 3 a.m.
I do know, like, Malay culture, we are very much, like, influenced by Buddhism. Like, selawat and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like how we gather around. This is what my boyfriend told me, Harris. He's like, you know, when I was, you know.
Credit
you
to know Harris.
Yeah, credit to Harris. Yeah. He told me about this where, like, Selawat and like Doa Selamat is very like very much a Buddhist cultural thing where you kind of gather around people and then baca to doa.
That's so interesting. Okay.
Right? I wonder it kind how of does that
apply
like,
because
yeah.
Okay, finish your thought.
I guess like that's why that we kind of like in the end our culture is a mix of both religion and also what we were before we were Muslim, I guess.
Yeah, Hinduism too, I think. There's a lot of those elements in there too. Because I remember, like, the whole idea of Doa Selamat. Is it Doa Selamat? I can't remember what it is. It's kind of fraught. There's some aspect of our religious practices that is frowned upon by Muslims in Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know if they have selawat and stuff. Like
besanding of selamat, it, right?
I'm not sure now that I think about it. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I remember... I don't know. I don't even remember what I was going to say. But yeah, it's just not a similar cultural practice.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a banana tree scene in the book.
Ooh, Pontianak, no.
It really, like, okay... So there was a banana tree scene in the book, and there's this character called Vince who Melati lived with during the time where she was apart from her mom. And Vince volunteered for the Red Cross, I think, or like something. He volunteered during the crisis, basically. And so there's a banana tree scene where they were heading somewhere, the both of them, Vince and Melati. And then Vince stopped the car after doing like a whole day of working with the Red Cross, and the banana tree has fallen in the middle of the road. And at that moment, I was going to be so angry if a Pontianak was going to come out.
Oh my God.
I was like, this book cannot have any Pontianak in it. I'd be so pissed off. I will throw my ebook to the wall. And it turns out it wasn't. I think they might have seen a body there or something. I can't remember. I thought that was really funny. Always. I think she was trying to mislead.
Yeah, yeah. All the Malay readers are like, what is this?
Speaking of, nearby my place right now, there's a there's kind of like a gazebo, I guess. And in the gazebo-ish what thing, there are wisteria falling from the ceiling. Okay. Wisteria is a flower. And it smells very fragrant there. And every time I walk by there, I'm like, suspicious. What's going to happen while I'm here?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway, is there anything you want to discuss about the book, though?
How, I'm not very familiar with the Malaysia's history. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty, question.
I'm pretty baller at it.
All right. So I'm just like, at the same time, it's fascinating, I guess, like how, I don't know, I guess I have no idea where my thought is because like I have not finished thinking through this thought. But basically, I'm just like amazed at how I don't know, I guess. It's not like I was taught this in history or anything.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's fascinating.
Part of the reason why I do know is because... Yeah, okay, so part of the reason why I do know is because I did a minor in Southeast Asian Studies.
That's fucking true. Of course you did. I totally forgot about that.
So I don't think you should feel any kind of way for not knowing the history of your neighboring country. Do you know the history of Brunei?
Absolutely not. Like,
yeah, I think we're not good. This is my opinion. I don't know if it's... the same for other people, but I felt like high school history was just not well done. I didn't really have great history teachers, like no offense to them, but also it might have just been the way the history books are written is just very uninteresting.
Oh, definitely. I prefer, instead of like, for me personally, I don't like reading history books. I prefer literally hearing people talk about history because they have like, they put in their little excitements. Because one of my best friends and my boyfriend, they're both like history, huge history nerds. Like they take history as like for their degree. So whenever they have like, hey, did you know about this? Like, here's what I found out. And it's like all these little tidbits that, you know, that don't necessarily go into the textbooks. That are like super, super fascinating. So those are the things that I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really like reading history, but I do like reading human stories when those things happen around them.
Yeah, I don't like those either. Yeah. I just don't like reading about that.
You're like, I like romance and that's it.
Yeah, I like romance. Like, I read historical romance, but historical romance is not historical fiction. Like, it's literally not.
Does that not count?
No, it's not. It doesn't. Well, I know that, like, some aspects of the research that goes into historical romance is rooted in history, but historical romance, in the West especially, it's kind of like, it's molded by the ideas of white people from the past who wrote about that time, or like who wrote, like in the 80s they wrote about like the Regency, and then they just like made it into this fantasy world with its own rules. And modern historical romance as in modern writers, they kind of like they assimilated those fantastical rules of history into their books, so it's like, you know, it's not actually an accurate picture, obviously.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Okay, but would you want to learn more about history, though?
Not through books. Not, like, academically. Not, like... Basically, okay. I just want people to, like, come to me and, like, cerita which is basically like a casual history lesson thing, which is what I get whenever I see Harris. So I'm fine. I'm good.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to discuss? I don't know. It's hard to discuss a book in a book club when you're the only one who read it.
But like I read the princess thing, and then what else did I not read? And you were fine.
Yeah. No, that's
why,
fine.
Why is I just this don't hard, know what... Why is this book a bit harder?
No, I mean, I just don't know how to discuss it with you. I've always had problem with leading with the books that we read. I just don't know how to lead.
This is why I like this book. Okay.
I like this book. Thumbs up.
Would you reread it?
No.
Okay. Is it heavy murder?
But that's not...
Or light murder? Heavy murder.
Is it... I don't know what those two things mean. I'm sorry. Let me think. I don't know if it was heavy murder. I guess it's... It's a pretty heavy book, though. I do feel like it is a heavy book. But I think you're right that if you're not at a stable mindset, it's difficult to read it.
Yeah.
Especially since it's so close to what we culturally recognize.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's not gory. So there's that. And that's a saving grace. Yeah. I think what's good about this book is that we don't really get that kind of access to Malay books, and not like Malay writers with a history that is so close to ours.
Yeah. I kind of really enjoyed like the language that she uses and how casually she uses sayang and like the Malay words. To me, it sounds like very like how you and I talk
and
with
not,
each other. Like,
and not explaining at all.
Yeah, not explaining at all. Not italicizing the words as well, and just expecting people to catch up with you instead of like you having to like catch them up.
Yeah, I did wonder when I was reading through this book and all the Malay words came out, I was wondering if people who, because this book did quite well in, I don't know, Euro-America too, apparently. I did wonder if people understood, like, how do they grapple with that language gap, because I think about some books that I've read that are like from Africa or from like the Japan and stuff, and whenever these terms come up, it's very often italicized, and then there's often a description following it, whereas this time around there's some bits where there are description of what those words mean. But also, quite often, there are no descriptions at all.
Yeah. Actually, like, I didn't realize that it was, like, almost bilingual when I was reading it until I just, like, oh, wait, I missed that sentence. Yeah. And then, like, oh, my God, this is in Malay? Whoa! Because it just floats so naturally as if, like, I was thinking it. So it was, like, that's amazing. Mm. That's the level I want to be at, bitch. Like, this is to me, like, not to anyone else.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. Thumbs up for me.
Thumbs up also for me, even though, like, even if I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. By proxy reading.
Yes. I'm going to check on...
What's our book club for next month?
That's exactly what I'm checking right now. To go November. November... Why are so many things
that
happening
chicken
in
though?
Oh yeah, kakadangaran.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where is it? Here we go. Okay. Our book club book for November is Beginner's Luck by Kate Claiborne. which is like, it's considered a romance, but it also goes into, it's also kind of like not as romancy, as in like it reads almost like a regular fiction book.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to convince me. I'll read it.
No, I'm just like, it's
actually,
for...
Actually, now that I think about it.
What?
I started watching Star Trek, so I don't know if I'll actually have time to read next month.
Sure, okay. I've read this like 4 times, so I will definitely be okay with like handling this by myself.
Okay, then maybe you should just record the book club bit by yourself.
And then like you edit it in.
Yeah, I'll just go, Okay, anyway, thank you so much for listening. Please follow us on Twitter at Book Club Haters and follow the mothership at Songkit Alliance on Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook.
Bye.
Goodbye.